Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
I would say, let's just do it. Let's get this podcast going. Growing in Grace, the podcast at growingingrace.org. You can also, nowadays, YouTube is getting into podcasting. And not only that, but I've heard that YouTube Music, it's kind of a little bit ironic, it's called YouTube Music, but they are actually the biggest deliverer of podcasts at this current time. And you can catch the Growing in Grace podcast on YouTube Music, also on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for the Growing in Grace podcast and you'll find it. But you don't just have to do it on YouTube, but you can use the YouTube Music app, which does podcasts, and you can search for it and just listen there. It's pretty cool. I just do the podcast, post it as usual, and YouTube reads the feed, and it makes it into a podcast. So it's pretty cool, the things that are happening these days. We've been through all kinds of technological changes throughout the years as we've been doing this podcast for almost 20 years, and it's I love how it's all evolved. It just makes it easier for this message to get out, and that's really what we're doing here. We're sharing the message of God's love and grace, the liberty and freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And Cap, we've been in Galatians talking about what Paul was dealing with. You know, the book of Galatians, the epistle, the thing about epistles is that, you know, it's basically a letter. Paul was writing a letter to a group of people. And it's not like he just sat down one day, oh, I need to write these Galatians. I need to write these people. I just miss them. I need to write them. No, but there were issues. There were problems going on there. As we've talked about the last few weeks, there were a lot of issues with people adding the works of the law to the gospel, adding works to faith. That was an issue that Paul dealt with. He was persecuted for it. He kind of stood in the minority at first when he began preaching this gospel of grace, salvation and justification by faith apart from works. A man is justified by faith apart from works. You know, it has nothing to do with works. It's the man who does not work but believes in God who justifies the ungodly. That person's faith is accounted as righteousness, Paul said in Romans. And Paul was kind of persecuted for that. He was in a minority among a lot of Jewish people who were preaching the gospel, but were adding works to it. And so these people had come in and had tried to get these Galatian people to add works to their faith. They began without having works. They began just simply believing the gospel, believing in Jesus Christ. People had come in. And so we went through the last few weeks, up to chapter 4. We got up to the end of chapter 4 in Galatians. And so Paul starts off in chapter 5, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." So we'll talk about that this week. What was the bondage that Paul was talking about? What was the freedom that he was talking about? Let's get into it. The book of Galatians, chapter 5, and whatever else Cap might have to say and what I might have to say about it.
Yeah, Paul decides to start a new chapter. kind of a long-running joke with us here on the podcast, because of course there weren't chapters and verses, and that's something that came along centuries later for reference purposes, good, bad, or ugly. We like them, but sometimes it shuts people off from understanding the context because we get so focused. I think on many online Bibles, Joel, I think there's an option in the settings where you can set it so the verses aren't in there. Is that correct?
Well, that'd be nice. I think I've seen something like that. I've never looked into it myself, but you know, the thing about chapters and verses, they can be very helpful for reference purposes. But like you say, it can cause a person to miss a lot of context. Like for today, we're starting in Galatians chapter 5, but we have a whole few weeks there of, you know, leading up to this, and Paul said a lot of things leading up to it. So if you start just there, you know, do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. I had heard that Paul was talking about sin. Don't be entangled again with all this sin. Totally missing the context. So, yeah, like you say, the chapters and verses are great for reference purposes, but don't get lost in the verses and really do get yourself understanding the context.
Well, and that's why sometimes Paul would say, he might be quoting Isaiah, for example, like back in Romans or whatever, and he wouldn't say, well, he wouldn't always necessarily say, in Isaiah chapter 50, he would say, it is written, because they didn't have those kinds of references in those old written scriptures. But here in Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore. So we've got the word therefore. For you longtime listeners out there, you know what that means. It means he's following up on something that was previously said. And I wouldn't just say over the last few verses, but over the last few chapters, yes, almost since the book began in Galatians. So he's coming to a point where, again, one of my favorite phrases that I use is, I said all that to say this. Right. That's kind of what therefore means.
Yes, it's true. Exactly.
So here's verse one. I'm going to read two different versions. They're saying the same thing, but they're just worded differently. New King James, what you just did, Joel, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not become entangled again with a yoke of bondage. ESV, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And you mentioned, it's good not to become entangled with sin. Avoiding sin is good advice. And we would also provide you with that advice. Do the best you can to avoid it, because it does trip people up, and it causes pain and suffering and just needless anguish, right? Hurts you and hurts those around you. Don't ever hear us say that going out and sinning doesn't matter.
Right.
In spite of everything that we talk about with the freedom that we have in Christ apart from works. So that's a side note there. But the context here isn't that, as you said, Joel. Indeed, verse 2, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged or severed from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. So powerful stuff here in the first four verses. And circumcision is kind of broader. We've got a law package from Moses that included over 600 rules, commandments, and statutes for the Jewish people who were under that law. Circumcision seemed to be a highlighted piece of that as the Judaizers came to the Gentiles, the Galatians, and started telling them, you have to keep some of the law. And circumcision apparently was one of the things near the top of their list, because it gets mentioned on more than one occasion. So Paul is saying, if you're going to go down that road, if you just think being circumcised is what's going to get you there instead of just faith in Christ, based on things he said earlier in his letter, then you're going to be obligated to keep the entire law, the entire package, the whole thing. You can't just pick and choose. God stated over and over again in the Old Testament that you had to do all of it. Nothing shall be added to the law. Nothing shall be taken away. You do it. You do all of it. That was part of the curse that Paul was talking about earlier to these people a couple of chapters ago that we went through. And compare this to, some people think they're saying the same things. We recently did that little series on James, where he also kind of mentioned that you have to do the whole thing. The difference to me, Joel, is that Paul is trying to get the fish off of that law hook, whereas James was baiting it just a little bit by trying to encourage people to keep the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. I think there was a huge difference between what was being said and what Paul is saying here in this epistle is exactly that. He's trying to get the fish off the hook. He's wanting these people to understand that when they came to Christ, there were no strings attached. There was nothing else other than believing in this Christ, believing in this Savior who had died and had rose again from the dead. Believe in him, period. God justifies the ungodly, the one who does not work. His faith is counted as righteousness. And there were people, like you say, trying to put that bait back on. And Paul was coming up against that. He was saying, "This is, come on, people. This stand in the liberty for which Christ made you free. Don't be entangled again with that yoke of bondage." Because what had happened was that they had started to fall for this. They had started to fall for this idea that, maybe we do need to add some of the works of the law to our faith. And so that had put them into bondage. Now he's telling them, get out of that bondage and don't be entangled with that yoke of bondage again. And basically what he said in the next couple verses, if you're going to keep part of the law, you have to keep the whole thing. "Now you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law." Some people believe that, or you are severed from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. That's the ESV. You know, the different versions say it a little bit differently, but you have been alienated from Christ is what the NIV says. I don't believe that this means that they've lost salvation. I don't believe that it means that they've literally been severed away from Christ, because throughout this whole epistle, Paul has referred to them as believers, as saved people, as people who are in Christ. It's just they've fallen for this foolishness that they can add works to the law and be further justified. So I believe that he's using strong language here just to say that the effects of Christ in you, you're not going to realize it and understand it as well and experience it as well. You're not going to experience Christ in you if you're adding works the law to it. Yes, Christ is in them. They are saved people. They've been justified by faith. They've just fallen for this foolish notion that they can add works to their faith in order to become further justified, as Paul has previously said. And so I don't believe that he's saying that they've lost their salvation or that they were never in Christ in the first place, but it's just that if they attempt to be justified by the law, you've fallen from grace. And that term fallen from grace, I don't know how many times, you know, in the world today, people use that phrase left and right. You hear it when a famous person has, you know, all of a sudden fallen into some sort of a sin or some sort of a something that, you know, all public eyes are on that person because they did something wrong, and now they've fallen from grace. Well, that's not what Paul is talking about here, of course. They've fallen from grace. It's not like they've fallen from a place of their own goodness, but they've fallen from this idea that their own goodness didn't get them anywhere in the first place. That's what they've fallen from. And so he's asking them, he's trying to encourage these people to get away from that idea that they can be further justified by the law, because that's causing them to fall from the grace of God and get back into the grace of God, whereby they were saved and justified apart from works. "For we through the Spirit..." Chapter 5, verse 5, "We through the Spirit eagerly await for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." And so then he goes on, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" Again, so many times I've heard people not looking at the context. "You have not obeyed the truth. You sinner, you've gone out and sinned and not obeyed the truth." No, when he's saying you ran well, he's talking about you ran this race, so to speak, understanding that it was not by your own works, but it was by grace. Now, what's hindering you? And so he's trying to get them to get away from this notion that their race, so to speak, that they're running has to do with law, but it really only has to do with faith and faith alone.
You know, what you mentioned there about fallen from grace, I agree with what you said. But, you know, in the past, sometimes you'd see a headline where the pastor got caught in some sort of compromised sin or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they have this headline, "Fallen from grace," you know. And it's as if we think grace is based on what we're doing.
Right.
Right. You don't you don't hold up your end of the agreement, then you fall from grace, right? That's kind of what, at least the way the world and sometimes the church world looks at this. And yet, it's not a quid pro quo. It's Jesus held up his end of the deal. He held up his end of the agreement. We don't hold up our end of the agreement. That's the whole point of having a quote unquote savior. Hello. So I just wanted to bring that out too. But so, yeah, who hindered you from obeying the truth? I wonder what he was talking about there. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You ran well. Who hindered you? The truth of faith. The truth of faith. I like verse 6. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. That's a powerful thing right there, because love becomes the motivation. Love was really the motivation for God reaching out to his creation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so when love becomes the motivating factor instead of works, then works become a byproduct of that. Faith, hope, and love, right? The greatest of these is love. And then one of my favorite verses in the entire New Testament, I know we were just laughing about verses, but one of my favorites, a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Yeah.
Everybody's favorite, right? It's not just me. And I like the way, that's the New King James. Let me tell you what the ESV says. It says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Oh, wow.
They're exactly the same. That's what I like about them. But I'm kidding around a little bit. But that's all it takes, right? Sometimes, what's that, Joel?
The NIV, I mean, joking around, but a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Just to drive the point of really what are you saying there. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much of a bad thing, and it works its way through the whole thing.
Yeah. You know, it's a little bit of law can mess up a whole lot of grace.
Yes.
In our minds, anyway.
Right.
Verse 10, I have confidence in you. Oh, that sounds a little more positive. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? there's something. Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Oh, wow. So Paul brings something out here saying, if I'm out there telling people they should be circumcised, why am I still suffering? So Paul, you know, if you read between the lines here, who is he suffering persecution from? Obviously, it's from Jewish people. And theoretically, at least based on what we've read here in this letter, Jewish people who may have claimed to believe in Jesus, but also believe that you needed at least certain portions of the law, even as Gentiles who never had the law.
Right, yes. And we'll wrap it up for this one. There's plenty more to be said here about what Paul wrote to these people who were dealing with, you know, having come to Christ by faith alone, and having people come and add these works of the law to them. So we'll pick up on where we left off next week, right here on the Growing in Grace podcast.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.